All right.
Kirk, I want to ask you about, obviously Jameis has made good progress in the interception department this year in cutting those back, but his fumbles are, again, I think he's tied for the league lead in lost fumbles, had a problem with them on Sunday. Is there something you would point to? It's been botched snaps, it's been sack fumbles, but is there something you'd point to for why it continues to be a problem for him when he's made progress in other areas?
Well, possession of the ball is the most important thing, all right? So there's no question about that. The possession of the football, most important. So there's some – if you look at sacks in the NFL, it's a high number of sacks on the quarterback that turn into fumbles. I mean, it's just – that's across the league. I mean, the quarterback's in a vulnerable position, and we had two of those. We had two of those last week, both the first one and the second one were Jameis in a passing posture and you know, I think part of that is just experience and learning. Is if I'm not getting the ball out on time, sometimes I got to go into self-preservation mode. And, you know, I think that's something that Jameis will continue to work on as time goes on. The snap in the game, in this particular game, this last game, that was on Joe. I mean, Joe came right off the field. Joe was pulling on that play, and that Jameis didn't even touch that ball. It goes as a fumble to him. That's just the way the stats are, and that's fine. You know, I think the biggest one that Jameis has to correct moving forward is the one where he's got guys hanging on him and he's still trying to make a play. I mean, has he made plays like that? Yes, he has. But the risk reward there just isn't high enough.
So we talked about, you know, him playing sort of through the injury, and I know numbers don't tell the whole story, but boy, they are there to see. I mean, you know, his completion percentage during that time when he was playing was 61.9. Now it's 72 since he's come back. You know, touchdowns was 3-3. It's 8-2 now. I mean, it seems simplistic, but is there no doubt that kind of tells a story about how well he feels now versus the effect that that injury might have had on that?
I mean, the numbers are so dramatic. I think that would, again, like a lot of stuff, that's a hard thing to measure because no one really knows. You know, it's hard to, on any injury, unless a guy can't run or something like that, it's hard to say on a shoulder injury to a quarterback, okay, how does it affect him 5%? Does it affect him 10%? Does it affect, at some percent there, it's going to be he wouldn't have played. The doctors wouldn't have cleared him to play. So it's a hard thing to judge, but the numbers are so dramatic. And, you know, when you talk to Jameis about that, you know, he's got a couple other things that he would point to, but it's really hard, other than health, to say he's healthier. I mean, that's the main difference.
Can you talk to Jameis about what happened at the end of the game, you know, when he kind of lost his composure there. Is that something that you guys have conversations about? I mean, I know you guys, you know, spend a lot of alone time together, and I didn't know if that's something that's come up.
Yes.
And in a situation like that, you know, with a young quarterback and everything, I mean, what types of things, what do you tell a young quarterback like that who is so fiercely competitive?
Those are things I should keep between Jameis and myself.
Dirk, we'll get the injury report, but Deshaun looking better in terms of his foot? Or...
Yeah, he did a little bit more today. Still limited, and, you know, we'll just have to see how the week goes here. He did a little bit, you know, Cam, similar to last week. I think Cam, you know, will do what he can on Sunday. That would be my expectation.
With Deshaun and Godwin both iffy, you kind of had to test your depth at receiver here in recent weeks, whether it be Martino making the big long catch, Wilson had the touchdown. How, I think you just felt good about your depth at receiver going into things, but how well has that played out here in the last 2-3 weeks?
Well, especially in Bobo's case, you know, because he hadn't first game action. Freddie was with us in Atlanta, and, you know, Freddie's one of those guys that's just always there when you need him and always seems to play a little bit better than you think he's going to. You know, he knows our systems, can play all the spots. He's a tough guy. Freddie's been playing really solid on special teams. I mean, he's been covering kicks, covering kickoffs, making tackles. you know, sometimes if you're that fourth or fifth receiver, I mean, you just don't get a whole lot of opportunities to get balls thrown to you. And then all of a sudden you do, and you go, hey, that guy's not too bad. And so in Freddie's case, it really is not that unexpected or surprising. In Bobo's case, and we talked about this, I think, yesterday or the day before, that he's just improved a lot. And his he's done a good job of taking Monk's coaching and then applying it and then learning. You know, one of the hardest things for a guy when you're a backup is you've got to learn more than one spot because you don't ever know where you're going to go in.
When you have a game like see Lattimore again, probably on Mike, quite a bit. So it really just depends on how they call that game, how much hand fighting they let him go, who the crew is.
Yeah, that's every week. That's every week. And that's the one thing that, I mean, I talk to the officials about it every week. And, you know, even when you go through the league, I think that's one of the biggest issues in our league right now is both ways, the hand fighting both ways, and then the discrepancies and how crews call it. I know that the league works hard to try to unify that, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard because you got different guys watching different people, you know, how their responsibilities are. So it's especially, you know, when you have big receivers, I think the biggest big receivers like Mike, teams try to hold them up more, and you know, you get hand fighting, then you're going to get calls both ways, and it's a difficult thing.
Do you study the crews and have yeah. numbers on the crews?
Yeah.
And then tell the player that, hey, there's
yeah, gonna, yeah. We go over it every week. I mean, we have people that have scouting. We have scouting reports. We have numbers. You know, where they're at compared to the crew, compared to league average. What penalties they call the most, and then same each individual guy. You know, where he ranks, how many he calls. But still, even with that said, and we go over it every single week, even with that said, you know, say there's 35 passes in a game with a receiver, and, you know, if they're playing bump and run coverage, there's still bang, bang plays. And it also depends if you've ever done anything in your life where you're running, okay, you're running and your vision, your head moves, your eyes. So the officials are running too. So, you know, how I'm looking at a play from my angle and how an official's looking at it, and then, you know, we turn plays in on film. It's just never going to be perfect.
Do you think that Mike, I mean, the bigger receivers, right? I mean, they're always the ones that teams are going to try to hold up, and maybe that's just as simple as that. But do you think that if he gets a couple flags in a game, that guys are actually looking at him saying, hey, he pushes off a lot, or he's
oh, yeah.
some offensive people?
Absolutely. I guarantee you the other teams – you know, the officials come in your locker room, and I guarantee you the other coaches are saying, hey, you got to watch 13 pushing off, just like I'm saying you got to watch whatever your number is, 44, grabbing 13. I mean, heck, I'm talking to them during the game about that. Doesn't mean it helps.
From a dual standpoint, the Saints may have the best running back duel in the league. As far as the skill set's concerned, what's the difference between the two guys?
Well, just, you know, the basic look at it is Ingram's the power guy and Kamara's the elusive guy. But Kamara has better power than you think he does, and Ingram is more elusive than you think he is. I think Ingram is the healthiest that he's been. I mean, he's got a couple runs on tape. Ooh, I mean, and they're throwing the ball to Ingram more. I mean, Kamara's got, you know, almost 80 catches or right around 80, but Ingram's got almost 60 catches. So they're throwing it to both of them. You know, when we were scouting Kamara coming out of Tennessee, you could see the explosiveness. You could see all that part. What I didn't see is his power. I mean, he's more powerful than I saw on his college tape. So they got a great 1-2 punch going. You know, two Pro Bowl running backs on the same team. That I don't know if that's happened too often in this league.
Do